sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex. In all of its myriad of forms and flavors, we are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. Because sex matter so much. Most of us can use a little help getting authentic with our sexual selves, and when we do, we all benefit. So we invite you to join us. Why? To remind us all, and perhaps better stated, help us know that sex matters. Period. Hey, this is Judy from Sex Matters, and I want to give you a little bit of background and information on the episode you're about to hear. So just to set the stage, I do a podcast called the Wellness Renaissance Podcast that covers health and wellness and all different subjects around it, one of them being sexual health. I interviewed Patricia for that podcast talking about the work she does in her book and a bunch of wonderful things. We sat down to do episode 2. We did a bunch of recording for that. And out of that whole experience is where this podcast came from. We decided to do a whole new sex-related podcast. So here we are today. Well, I didn't turn that recording into an episode for Wellness Renaissance, but here is what I did do. I've taken a snippet for an episode. You're going to hear that we kind of start in the middle and we don't really complete our episode like we normally would on the Sex Matters podcast. I picked a portion of it to share with you today. And if you'd like to hear the rest of the interview, the whole 2 hours and 16 minutes or so, I think it is, you can do that by becoming a Patreon member. As low as $2 a month to support the podcast, and you will get access to that recording, as well as a PDF, an exercise in finding our sexual values. That is very valuable and probably a wonderful thing to do with anybody you might be in a sexual relationship with, and definitely anybody you're in a long-term sexual relationship. At the beginning is great, but anytime is also wonderful. So to do that, it's pretty quick, easy, and secure. Just go to the sexmatterspodcast.com page, click on Becoming a Patron, and it'll walk you right through the process. Oh, and I do want to mention, first of all, you heard me mention before about my other podcast, the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, and I think I have mentioned that episode number 68 is a fantastic introduction to Patricia that I highly recommend you checking out. And I also had the absolute honor of having a conversation with Emily Nagoski. And you might know her from, she's a best-selling author. The book is called Come As You Are. She actually has a new book out just this year called Burnout that she wrote with her sister. She has some amazing TED Talks. And if you go to the wellnessrenpodcast.com site, not only will you find Patricia, but you also find the episode I did with Emily, which is episode 94. And again, that can be found at wellnessrenpodcast.com. So when you're done listening to all the Sex Matters episodes, you can head on over there and check them out. All right, let's head back to a time when the Sex Matters podcast was hardly a gleam in our eye.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, again, in sexual authenticity coaching, so much of our sexuality has been closed off mainly to our senses. So teaching people how to be sensual again, tap into their 6 senses, and I'm going to rattle them off and all. I always forget one. So your taste, your sight, your smell, your hearing, touch, and your mind, your imagination or creativity. These 6 things hugely impact your ability to tap into your sexual power. So that's sort of what I do. I help people with that.
It's funny when we don't acknowledge how important it is, or we just don't want to. I think people do, like, they have this divided brain of they know it's a big deal and it's affecting stuff, but oof, to go there, it's just too much.
Yeah.
But how many, and I don't hear
Isn't
people
Isn't it a shame to think of sex as work? Isn't that horrible?
It's true.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
It's true. It can be delightful work if you're, you know, when you're in a space with somebody or with yourself where it's not woof, you know.
Right.
But I don't hear this as much, but, you know, I used to hear people, you know, when you think of somebody, male or female, who's just uptight and, you know, tense, you're like, oh, that person just needs to get laid. You know, so we have this knowledge, this acknowledgement that there is...
That's your intuition telling you,
that something is happening. We know that, you know, and I know, you know, after I've had really good sex, I can go for a week and be like a totally different person.
Or, I have this internal clock thing, and I think a lot of women actually do. It's almost like a celibacy switch. If I go for a certain amount of time, and I've narrowed mine down to about 2 weeks, so mine is pretty short, I go 2 weeks without sex, and I really don't need it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I flip the switch, and I go into a different mode, and I put that energy into other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I also become crabby, bitchy, short, irritable, very inward and introverted. You know, I'm not as energetically charged, not as positive in my thoughts. I see it actually physically change me when I go for that long. And again, I'm going to state that just, you know, that's even me not having doing masturbation if I go that long. And that rarely happens because I know that sex is so important for me that my body wand is plugged in next to my bed at all times, along with a dildo and lube is ready, and it's all there and ready to go. I have a husband, and if he's not able or at the moment when I need it, bim, bam, boom, let's go. Let's take care of this. I got some thoughts. I got creative thoughts I want to get out on paper today. I got to get these channels open, you know? So taking my sexuality into my own hands and not making it about anybody else, it's not... somebody else's responsibility to make you come. It is not.
Do you perceive that there's the difference between when you have the energy difference of when you have sex with somebody else and let's just call it a good sexual experience versus yourself?
Yes.
Okay. So
one is like taskmaster, like, let's get it done, check it off the list, and keep moving.
Get in, get out, move on.
Yeah, let's go. That was, you know, and I was never really a fan of quickie sex, but because when I'm connecting with a partner, I want it to be a full-on experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't do, you know, fast food sex. It's just not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather just go into the bedroom, take care of myself, get it out of the way, and keep on trucking, and just be like, okay, I'm clear.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like, I don't know, I was thinking getting your teeth cleaned, but that's not really quite the same thing. It takes a lot longer. No. But you know how good you feel after you get your teeth cleaned and you rub your tongue over your teeth and all that sort of stuff?
Okay, I cannot help but break in at the moment. Does anybody remember the commercial that Patricia's statement just brought me right back to? Apparently, it was 1975, and it sounded something like this.
Do this. Mine feel great.
I always remember being a little disturbed by that commercial. A great coming together of the orgasm and teeth comment from Patricia. So I had to bring that in and share that with you all as it clearly popped into my memory. And the fun of Google is that it took me like 15 seconds to find that commercial. That kind of blew my mind. I thought it was going to be harder to find than that. But anyway, I found it. So I'll leave you with this final thought before we get back to our discussion.
Oh, and it's so gentle, you can use it every morning and face the world with a dazzling smile. It's a great feeling.
After you have an orgasm, or a couple, you know, if you're multi-orgasmic, and most women actually are, capable of mm-hmm. being multi-orgasmic. After a couple of orgasms, I feel like I just had my teeth cleaned. Like, my teeth are buzzing. My head is like, woohoo. And I'm standing up straighter. And, you know, my shoulders are relaxed. And I'm just like, yeah, putty almost, you know. But I'm able to then focus on whatever I have to do joyously, happily, pleasantly, you know, without, and whatever comes my way, I'm generally able to handle like it's just a blip versus these huge highs and lows that we tend to fall into when we're not having our needs met.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things become tragic or dramatic or whatever else, when it's really just, oh, that's nothing. We'll take care of that. You know, it'll take care of itself, or, you know, I don't know.
Right.
There's just so many endorphins and hormones that are released during sex that are so good for us. You know, when you hang in negative energy, that's where that cortisol comes in and the adrenaline comes in. And those are your fight and flight kind of hormones that come into play, and they really perpetuate anger, angst, victimhood, negativity. But if you can shift into those higher hormonal releases, you know, the positive things in orgasm, which is more about these wonderful flows of dopamine comes into play sometimes, and you get some testosterone is released. Also, it gives you that surge of energy. In women, a lot of times men go to sleep after sex, but mm-hmm. women get a surge of testosterone, which gives us that we're not ready to go to sleep. We could probably go for another hour, and they're snoozing because they need a break between, you know, ejaculations or whatever.
Well, and I just heard, I don't remember what hormone it was that they said is released in men that causes them to go to sleep, but what was interesting too about it was they said it's like, I don't remember what the number was, but it was like 30 times this hormone is released when they have an orgasm with a partner versus with themselves.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, well, this really helps me understand
satisfying.
Why they're like out,
yeah.
You know?
Super different.
Right. But it's so interesting, the self versus partner, mm-hmm. that our body knows the difference.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And I'm just thinking of your statement, because this is another thing that comes up. In, you know, I've had my own experience in relationships and hearing about other people's relationships. You and your husband, I am guessing, have a really good sexual connection, ability to discuss, ability to know each other, versus the, like when you're saying, when I need it and he's not available, I'm going to take care of it, right?
Yeah.
What I know can be a problem is when that communication isn't there.
Oh, yes.
So one partner is taking care of themselves without considering the other person.
Right.
Without considering that the other person might want to have sex. And then that person comes in, they're like, yeah, I'm so done.
Yeah.
Go away. You know, there's like these levels of how are you communicating with each other? Because that's going to also affect the sexual tension and the negativity in your relationship when that sexual need isn't met, and then
angst.
With each other, mm-hmm. right? And you know, if you aren't able to have sex with your partner because the partner is always only taking care of themselves, mm-hmm. A, you feel disrespected.
Yes.
And you wonder, where do you fit into this relationship?
Why? The why.
Right, exactly.
We ask that question all the time. Why not me?
Right.
Why does he want to look at that? Or why does she want her toy instead of coming
right.
to me when she knows I want it, or
right.
why am I not good enough? Not being good enough is oftentimes the root question that needs to be asked, and bringing that back to sexual authenticity is discovering that you are enough in every situation. You are enough, and that it's not it's not so much about this other person.
Mm-hmm.
So the hard part, and you know, I just took a deep breath because I can feel the heaviness of how frustrating that is, because I lived it in, you know, in my previous marriage, not being acknowledged for your sexual needs or desires is extremely hurtful. And oftentimes I have found that it is a power play.
Hmm.
Unfortunately. power comes into sex a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Everything about life is about sex, except sex. Sex is about power. And that's a quote from Oscar Wilde.
That's interesting.
And so when somebody is withholding sex from somebody or choosing not to engage, oftentimes it is a little tool in their toolbox to maintain some form of control or power over the situation. Keep somebody tethered, keep somebody detached, you know, not allow somebody close enough. They're putting boundaries around themselves, mm-hmm. because either they're not feeling secure, they're not feeling loved, they're not feeling enough, or the other person is clashing with their energy and they're not able to spark it together to mm-hmm. make it an enlightened experience together. You know, I'm writing another book and it's all about sexual energy, and a lot of the Eastern medicine refers to the yin and yang, you know, the male and female energy that we all possess. Every person has male and female energy within them. And I don't really like the way that it's kind of broken down, but it is sort of the way our society looks at things. So the feminine nature is to be nurturing, caring, kind, you know, soft, pretty, all of that sort of stuff. The male side is about being task-oriented, the hunter, the this, the that, you know, all those provider, those big, heavy attributes that are pretty much broken out by male and female that we see in culture all over the place. So Eastern medicine says that we carry all of those traits inside of us, and it's our job to figure out the balance. So when your mate, your partner, your husband is not pulling his weight as a man, you have to tap into more of your masculine energy as a woman to get things done. And now your masculine energy and you have this guy who sees you as a threat because you are more masculine than feminine. Bam. It is no longer appealing. It is no longer drawing two pieces together. That male-female tension, that male-female magnetism is out of balance, and it's really hard to tap into. Which is why a lot of times, if you're trying to get back to that place in a relationship, you know, once you've been in a relationship for a long period of time, mm-hmm. and something has changed, or there's been dynamics that have changed, you've had children, your family dynamics have changed, jobs have changed. As women, oftentimes we emasculate men nowadays. We take away a lot of their masculine traits. Some men still exert them quite freely, but they're hit with resistance a lot because we're such strong, powerful women these days. But a lot of times in those strong, powerful women, we're putting up boundaries. We're not in balance. We're putting guards around ourselves mm-hmm. because we've had to step into more of our masculine energy. Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah.
That was a lot of information to kind of pull in. But there is an ebb and flow when you're talking about sexual energy. And if you want to have connection, this is what I hear all the time. People want the connection. A lot of people want just sex. But the people that are really, really looking for something special, they want the connection. And the connection comes from being in balance with that ebb and flow. Somebody's the giver, somebody's the receiver. Somebody's the male energy, somebody's the female energy. And even in like a lesbian couple or a male gay couple, one of them is usually more masculine and more feminine. There is generally one of them concedes to the other sexually. If in public they want to, you know, both be strong, independent, you know, more masculine energy, that's totally fine. But when it comes to when they actually come together for that intimate union of sex, there is a giving and receiving that's going on. And it's a balance. It's truly a balance. And that's where the work comes in. Mm-hmm. Because each individual needs to get in touch with their own balances, and then there has to be a balance between the couple to bring that, to make it even that they'll draw together into that connection place. Sex can happen. Sex can happen, whatever. When you get come to that connection place, that's a higher level energy. That's where you're going to be in your creativity, your bliss, your curiousness, your playfulness. It's going to be fun. It's going to be relaxed. It's going to be enjoyable. You're going to be able to talk and laugh. And if you fart, it's not going to be a big deal. You know, that higher energy where it's not so critical, judgmental. When you're not in that connection place, oftentimes people are coming at sex from their low-level energy, that catabolic place of victimhood, self-fulfilling, their own needs, not worried about the other person so much, coping, settling, or anger. Very stress-based places.
What about the shame aspect?
Shame,
and
that's
the
all
feeling.
In victimhood. Okay, yeah, right. That's down in victimhood. That's all low-level energy stuff that does not leave you walking away feeling recharged, feeling ecstatic, feeling blissful, feeling connected to something bigger. And that's what everybody wants. They want the connection.
Mm-hmm. At our website, sexmatterspodcast.com, you can submit a question that we can answer, discuss, share our thoughts on. You can leave a review, sign up for the email list, and remember, when you do, you get the PDF of daily positive sex affirmations from Patricia. And of course, you can sign up for Patreon, where you will get the additional audio footage. Is it footage? I guess it would be footage. Audio footage of the rest of this episode, as well as the sexual values PDF exercise. You can find out more about Patricia at her website, which is thepowerexchange.co, that's .co, where you can learn how to work with her individually, take her courses, and see what else she is up to. You can connect with her on Facebook as well. Her book, Crossing the River Called Suffering, you can connect with that through the podcast website on the side panel. Just click and that will take you to Amazon. Learn more about my weekly health and wellness podcast at wellnessrenpodcast.com. You can find that on iTunes. You can also find that out on the website. And remember, check out Patricia's episode number 68, and also Emily Nagoski, who brings sex and science together in a very fun way, episode 95. And you can also find me on Facebook as well under Wellness Renaissance. And I think I forgot to mention, over the excitement of finding the commercial, that the commercial is actually for Pearl Drops. I'll put a link to that in our notes as well. See you next week.